Hi, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. First, male-produced volatile pheromones have been identified from 14 species in four tribes of the subfamily Cerambycinae. These tribes include the Calidiini, the Anagliptini, the Clytini, and the Elaphidiini. These pheromones are composed of 1 to 4 compounds that are 6, 8, or 10 carbons in length, and they share a common structural motif of a hydroxyl or carbonyl groups at carbons 2 and 3. Examples are hexane diol and 3-hydroxy-2-hexanone. Pheromones of many of these species are emitted from gland pores, these pheromone gland pores that are present on the prothoraces of males. Females lack these gland pores. And these are 4 species that have the pheromone gland pores in males. Some Cerambycinae species, however, lack pheromone gland pores in both sex, such as Lactoferus socius in the tribe Cerambycinae. And this suggests that these species do not produce a volatile pheromone. This research is part of an ongoing project that tests the hypothesis that prothoracic gland pores in males are associated with the production of volatile pheromones. Species with gland pores will produce volatile pheromones, and species that lack gland pores will not produce volatile pheromones. We tested our hypothesis with Rosalia fenibris, the banded alder borer. And this is a suitable study for suitable species for our study for several reasons. First, both sexes lack pheromone gland pores on the prothorax. This is the female and this is the male, and both the prosternum, which is shown, and the prothorax lack, they're identical. Rosalia fenibris is native to the western United States. It's polyphagous with host in a number of different plant genera, and it's considered fairly rare. It's seldom encountered in its natural habitat. However, Rosalia fenibris is well known for occasionally forming these large aggregations on recently painted buildings. This is an image that shows the beetles have flown in to paint and drowned. And these images were taken in the early 70s. So this suggests that this behavior, this aggregation behavior, has led some authors to suggest that there could be some compound in paint must mimic the sex pheromone. And this behavior, this aggregation behavior, this suggestion of sex pheromone is inconsistent with its lack of pheromone gland pores, or prothoracic gland pores. So we collected adults of both sexes from an aggregation on a recently painted building in Pasadena, California. We collected headspace volatiles from adults of both sexes. We identified the chemical compounds in the aeration by GCMS, and then we identified the active components of the aerations of the headspace by GCEAD. And then I know that this is skipping ahead to the results a little bit, but it'll make my methods a lot more clear if I just tell you that we identified there was a major component, and we identified it as Z3-decanyl-E2-hexenoate, and we synthesized this compound. We tested the activity of the Z3-decanyl-E2-hexenoate, which from here on out I'm going to just call the ester, in field bioassays. The lures were press seal plastic bags, and we had 3 treatments, 2 dilutions of the ester and a control. And so there was a neat material, the neat ester, then a dilution of the ester in ethanol, and then the ethanol alone. And then we hung the lures from the center of flight intercept traps. The field bioassays were conducted at Placerita Canyon Natural Area in Los Angeles County, California. Traps were placed 10 meters apart, and it transects through a canyon wooded with mature coast live oaks and sycamores. Traps were checked twice a day for 14 days, and the lures were replaced and rotated along the transect every 3 to 4 days to control for positional effects. We tested the differences between treatment means in numbers of beetles were tested with the non-parametric Friedman's test blocking by replicate, and the differences between pairs of means were tested with a mean separation test. This is the TIC, the total ion chromatogram from the GCMS of males. This is the on the On the x-axis you have time, and on the y-axis is abundance of compounds. The aeration, the headspace contained three compounds. The major compound was the ester, as I told you a few minutes ago, and that's peak four. Peak number two and peak number three are an isomer and a homolog of peak number four of the ester. And then the other early eluting trace compound was identified as an alcohol, which is Z3-dekenol. This is the EAD from the antennae of females, and the females responded only to the major this major compound, which is the ester. The antennae of males had the greatest response to peak number four, with smaller responses to two and three. The headspace volatiles of females did not contain any of these compounds, and the antennae of neither sex responded to any component in the headspace of females, which suggests that the females do not produce an aggregation or sex pheromone. So I mentioned we synthesized this compound, but the details of the synthesis are beyond the scope of a 10-minute talk. So I refer any interested parties to Dr. Miller's talk that will be on tomorrow morning, and he'll tell you all about how to synthesize Z3-dekenyl-E2-hexenoate. So our field bioassays, we captured 48 adults, and we captured individuals of both sexes. Here's the female. The female has shorter antennae than the male. The maximum number of beetles captured in a single trap in a single day were 11, and that's shown here. Treatment means, x-axis we have the quantity of the ester and the lure, and on the y-axis we have the mean numbers of beetles per trap per day. Treatment means were significantly different. The pheromone treatments captured significantly more beetles than did the control, and the control captured zero. So that also indicates, you'll go back and just to remind you, we used an ethanol, 100% ethanol, but we also used ethanol under dilutions. And since we captured zero beetles in the ethanol control, it indicates that that was a suitable compound to use as a solvent. So the number of individuals captured per day peaked at 18 after the first week, but it tapered off to ones and twos in the last few days of the bioassays, which is consistent with literature report of a short flight period for this species. So Z3-dekenyl-E2-hexenoate is the major component in the headspace volatiles of male Rosalia fenibris. The ester elicited the greatest response from the antennae of both males and females, and it actually was the only compound that elicited a response in females. And both sexes were attracted in the field bioassays. This chemical motif is unprecedented in the literature of cerambycid pheromones, and it's distinct from the very common diol hydroxyketone motif of other species in the subfamily Cerambycinae. So to go back to our hypothesis, this research does not support our hypothesis. Rosalia fenibris lack pheromone gland pores, and yet they produce a volatile pheromone. So the volatile pheromones of Rosalia have to be produced from some other tissue, and very likely from a different biosynthetic pathway. And we feel that this could account for the unique pheromone structure, the unique chemical structure of the pheromone. This is also the first pheromone identified from any species in the tribe Rosalini. And we wonder if the differences in the chemical structure could be a result of a more distant phylogenetic relationship with species for which volatile pheromones were previously identified. So what about the paint? Well, this ester is not a common component of paint to our knowledge, and we hypothesize that paint volatiles may be structurally related to the host plant volatiles, we guess. So I'd like to thank these people for their help and these people for support. And with that, I will take any questions. The question is, the elongated antennae of the males seem to indicate that there could be a contact pheromone, and that's very likely. We have not tested that yet, but in the future, probably. I mean, almost certainly. Yes?
So why do you think it
Well, you know, that's a good question. There's some thought that this could be, that these might be a fire-associated species, and so maybe we're just not seeing them aggregate on their host plants. But the paint thing is crazy. It's just, and it's what people know most about Rosalia, other than it's really a very spectacular beetle. Right.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks.